as you come and share the word. Let's put our hands together for Elliot this morning.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? I think you can do a little bit better than that. How are you guys doing? Okay. I'm coming all the way from Kenya, so I need you to make it a bit warm and hot in here so that I can get through this. So hopefully, as I've been introduced, my name's Elliot Berry. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit about the work that we do in Kenya, a little bit about the Word of God today, and hopefully through all of those little bits, you'll get a lot of Jesus and a lot of change and transformation. If you've come to church today just to tick off your, you know, your weekly schedule to say you've been to church, then you can leave now. This is, you know, this, you come to church, and I hope from today that we're going to have a transformative process, that you're going to leave here changed, blessed, and a different person than you were when you walked in. Amen. Yeah, I'm what's called a holler back preacher, which means the more you holler back at me, the better and the quicker this sermon is going to go. If you sit there and look bored and act bored, then this is going to be the longest, slowest sermon that you ever will have heard. But the louder you are, the quicker I'll be and the better I'll be. Yeah. On that note, what time am I finishing? Okay, great. Yeah, perfect. Great. So yeah, my name is Elliot Berry. I'm a believer. Whenever I come home to the UK, my mum will always say, oh yeah, that's Bishop so-and-so, and he's a believer, as if it's two different things. So just to clarify, I'm a pastor and a reverend, but I'm also a Christian. Married to my wife, Metty, two biological twins. We've been married for 3 years, and we've got 62 sons, and that's through the work that we do. You can tell that we didn't pay much attention in family planning class. I'm 28, and my firstborn son is 24, and only with God is that possible. So firstly, let me just rush through what the Noah Initiative does, so you know why I'm here, you know what I do. You do have leaflets on your chairs, but this will give you a bit more of a backup. So the Noah Initiative is a community-based organization focused on providing positive male role models for fatherless young men through education, mentorship, and discipleship. You know, and when we talk about all we do is provide a positive male role model for fatherless young men, people always kind of wonder why is such a small issue. You know, that's just a tiny thing that you're doing. Why not focus on a bigger issue? You know, suicide prevention, drug rehabilitation, you know, a bigger, you know, those hot topics in the world today, gender-based violence, things like that. And the answer that I have is through some statistics, which may sound really boring and, you know, I hated maths, but sometimes maths can help. So these are the statistics of why we deal with such a small issue. They're quite hard-hitting. Sorry if they hit home for some of us. But these are the figures. And these are collected from the EU, the AU, which is the African Union, and the US. So the stats are 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 90% of all runaway children are from fatherless homes, 85% of children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes, 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes, 70% of youth in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, 85% of all men in prison come from fatherless homes, 90% of arsonists are from fatherless homes, fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. So that's why we deal with such a small issue, because the small issue is actually the issue behind all of the hot topics that we're focusing on today. You know, a lot of organizations, which is needed, are focusing on protecting women and children, but we're protecting women and children from men. So if we deal with the men, and the men do their job in society the way that God created them to be, then through the power of Christ and his ministry, we won't need to be protecting so many women and so many children because men won't be attacking and won't be perpetrating. I think the reason that we started this is basically because I got tired of having to teach young girls how to defend themselves. Why are we not teaching young men how not to attack them? So that's what we do. Does it work? Yes. So we've got 60 boys. We did a recent survey through the local government, and the fatherless young boys that we have, compared to their peers, and including peers that have both parents at home and parents who have jobs, our boys are actually less likely to be arrested, less likely to use drugs, more likely to finish school, more likely to achieve a higher level of education, and less likely to have children before the age of 21. And that's why we're dealing with such a small issue. Boys need dads, and if we're not ready to acknowledge that boys need fathers, then our jails will be fuller, our rehabs will be overflowing, terrorism will run rife, and gang violence will be on the rise. Every child has a hole in the heart that only a father can fill. And this is why the NOAH Initiative exists, and this is what the NOAH Initiative does. And in Africa, we say it takes a village to raise a child. So it's not like I'm just there with 60 boys doing it all myself. We work with their mothers. We work with the community, the schools, to see a whole community transformation. And now I want to go to, so I've told you about myself, told you about NOAH. Let's get to the important stuff, which is the Word of God for today. It's funny, I was planning a different message. That's why I'm using my laptop instead of my notes. I have notes in my folder there, and then your pastors and Julia took me to pray in the back room and messed all that up because I heard God telling me to talk on something else. So that's why I'm doing it. So my notes are on the computer, and hopefully we'll get through it all. And if we don't, then you'll have to invite me back. So maybe I should plan on not finishing. So the word of God for today, I'm going to do that through asking you three questions. And thank you, Pastor Sammy, for allowing me to be here. You know, as a pastor, to allow somebody to preach on their pulpit without meeting them, That's a big trust, and you might start regretting it when I ask the first question. It's a question that you've probably heard several times. Maybe when you're driving and somebody cuts you off, you've probably said it. You're not going to admit it because we're in church, but I think you've probably said it. You've probably heard it in movies, on the streets, things like that, but I guarantee you, you've never heard it in church. And the first question and the first point that I want to make, and let me finish before you start throwing stones. The first question is, who the hell are you? It's, as I say, have you ever heard that in church before? Who the hell are you, and who the hell do you think you are? Like, now you know why I said you've probably said it when you're driving or when somebody frustrates you, who the hell are you, who the hell do you think you are? But when you think about that question, or even think about that idea, It doesn't really make sense. It's almost a curse. But when I heard that the question and really meditated on it, it's in this life there are a few facts, and three of them are that God has a plan for you. That's a fact. I hope you believe it because you're in church, but if you don't, then that's fine, but it's still a fact. Number two, you have free will. And number three, the devil has a plan for you. Those are three facts. Everything else is theory, but those are facts. One of the many differences about God and the devil is that God can create, but the devil can only use what is already there and manipulate it to his purpose. The devil can't create anything. He can only manipulate. So he uses our weaknesses, our hurts, our secrets to steer us into destruction. His aim is always to destroy. If you take me, for example, I was a mean, horrible person. I can't kind of say, like, I was just a nice guy, and then I got saved, and I was nice. They're like, no, I was terrible. I was horrible. You know, I think it says that in the Bible, it's kind of the tears will be collected in a little bottle. And my mom always says that she didn't need a bottle, she needed a bathtub, because that's how much we made her cry. I wasn't a criminal bad person, but I was just a horrible, mean person. I was incredibly quick to destroy anybody around me that I thought would threaten me, and I did this because I was so insecure. I hated myself, so I hated everybody around me. I was one of those people, you know, those people that can just give you one look and you just know, shh. I was one of those. I smoked, I drank, I slept around. I would get so annoyed with my surroundings. I had several eating disorders, not because there was no food, but just because I didn't want anything to do with it. I was starting out in modeling. Everybody would look at me, but I couldn't look at myself. I refused to smile because I hated my teeth. People would always take my picture, but the one rule was, I won't smile. You can take however many pictures you want. I can do, you know, the pout and the whatever, but I'm not going to smile. And if I smile, it's mouth closed smile, not mouth open smile. So the devil used things about me, natural things about me, my looks, my appearance, my ability to understand other people, but he twisted it. He used it for his purpose. He used it to bring me down and to bring them down. So who the hell was I? I was messed up. The devil had used genuine parts of my identity to screw me up, to make me into a horrible person. And I had let him. And I can testify that if I had not found Christ, I would probably be in hell right now. I wouldn't be alive. But now, because of God, I don't, and you don't have to answer the question, who the hell are you? Who the hell do you think you are? Because it's no longer your identity. There's a quote from a book called The Usual Suspects, which says, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he did not exist. There are three facts. God exists, you exist, and you have free will, and the devil exists. And everything of those has a plan. And if you pretend like the devil doesn't exist, you're playing into his way. The next question and the next point that doesn't really even make sense, you know, who the hell are you doesn't make sense in a kind of spiritual realm. Who the earth are you doesn't make sense in a linguistic term. Who the earth are you, it doesn't even make sense. But before we look at who the earth we are, we need to just think about the Bible for a second. This is church, so I think we're allowed to talk about the Bible. Not in some churches nowadays, but I believe this is a church that allows us to talk about the Bible. That was a good one. You can keep on doing that. Whether you think so or not, the Bible is an amazing thing. It's the living word. You have words, but as soon as you've spoken them and they've been heard, they die unless in memory. But the Bible is the living word of God. It's the word that heals you, builds you up. You know, it says that God has plans to prosper. Amen. Oh, people don't want to prosper. Amen. It says that we have the victory. It says that we've overcome. But there's one part that isn't so great. You know, there's nothing nice about it. It makes you come back to your humble roots. If you ever thought that you wanted to be proud as a Christian, this one brings you way back down. And it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says, God formed man out of the dirt of the ground and blew his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. So, me and you, doesn't matter how I've dressed or how you've dressed or whatever, you're actually just dirt. It's all you are. I'm sorry, it's not a compliment, but you're literally just dirt, nothing else but dirt. The guy that is preaching is dirt. The guy or the girl in the magazines that you admire is dirt. You know, it's not such a good thing. When you think about dirt, it doesn't make you feel very special. It's not got the best connotations when you think about dirt. We would say you have a dirty mind or you have a dirty mouth. You know, it's not a great thing. When you think of dirt, you think of mess, of unclean, of bad. And, you know, I always think about evolution. I personally don't believe in evolution, but evolution says that my ancestors were monkeys. But the Bible says that my ancestors were dirt. surely it's more complimentary to have come from a monkey than a dirt. But that's not what the Bible says. So, you know, God is awesome. Amen. He does amazing things. The stars are beautiful. The sunset is beautiful. Both are chemical marvels. He's the architect of heaven, where the gates are made of pearl, the roads are made of gold. But when he created you and me, his prized possession, the one he sent his only son to die on a cross for, he used dirt. Streets get gold, but you got dirt. But we've got a God who's not afraid to deal and work with dirt. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. And you know, I mean, usually where I come from in Kenya, it's called Eldoret. It's a farming community. So I usually ask the question, you know, they're planting seeds all year round. And it's kind of, have you ever planted a seed in gold? No. But if you did, it's not going to do anything. Have you ever planted a seed in pearl? No. But you have to plant a seed in dirt. You have to have dirt to grow something. No matter how good the fruit it was planted in, if it was not planted in dirt, then it can't grow. No matter how bad the dirt, when God plants a seed on the inside of you, and that seed is a gift, it needs your dirt to grow. There's a great pastor in the U.S. called Robert Madu. And he tells a great story about when he planted a peach seed in his backyard. And as a child, he was so frustrated when it didn't grow straight away. Madu calls himself the original African-American because his dad is African and his mom is American, which then he says makes him African-American. And his dad had told him to plant the seed and that it would grow peaches. And he went to school the next day and told all of his friends that he's got a peach tree and he's planted a seed and the peach is going to grow and he's going to go home and have these great peaches. And all of us know that when he went home, it was still just a hole with some dirt on top and there were no peaches. And he went to his dad and told his dad that he was a liar, which, you know, I'm coming from an African setting, and when you call your father a liar, it doesn't end so well. But it reminds us of something, that there was a seed in the dirt. He knew it, his father knew it, but nobody else would believe him. Nobody else could see the seed, nobody else knew what the seed would produce because they weren't the ones that put the seed there. Nobody that didn't put the seed in the dirt will know what will come. And oftentimes we can get so discouraged because we're asking advice from people that don't know the dirt and don't know the seed. And then we're listening to what they say and it doesn't end out so well. Only the one who plants the seed knows what the fruit will be. So who the heaven are you? You're amazing. Some people don't believe they're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. Each and every one of you is crazily amazing. Each person is uniquely gifted. If I couldn't see something in each of the boys that I work with, then I wouldn't do it. If I enrolled them into the Noah Initiative, it's because God has a plan for them, and I believe it. I believe that God has a plan for their life. I believe that God has a plan for your life. I don't even know you, and I believe God has a plan for your life. So that's how amazing the plan is. You're not an accident. Some people haven't had the best start in life. I work with a lot of them. But nobody is an accident. Maybe your dad said he didn't want you, that you're an accident. Maybe your mom said it was an accident too. Maybe you often felt or have even been told that you're an accident. And you might have been an accident to them. But it doesn't matter. God's opinion matters, and before he made anything else, he had predestined you and me, all of us. He wanted to have you, and before he said, let there be light, he said in the year 1990, let there be Elliot. Yeah. before he brought everything else into existence, he said, let there be you. Who the heaven are you? You're a gift. You're not useless. You're useful. There is a gift in your dirt. All of us have had dirt in our lives. It doesn't matter where you come from, the background that you have, all of us have had dirt in our lives. But there's a seed in that dirt. And if you look hard enough, it will start to bloom. Each one of you is gifted, different gifts, but all gifted. Who the heaven are you? You're blessed, you're not cursed. In your life, you may have felt cursed or you may have actually been cursed. But that is a lie. Once you accept Christ and put the word and put the world behind you, the chains of any generational or spoken curse are no longer on your life. As long as you allow Jesus to deal with them. As one of God's children, he has taken away the curse of the world and given you his blessing. Who the heaven are you? You're above, you're not beneath. You're beneath. I want the next generation. And when I say the next generation, people always think that I'm talking about people younger than me, but I'm talking about this generation. No matter what you see with your natural eyes, I would pray that you start realizing that you're a prince because your Father in heaven is a king. And you're above, not for pride or to boast, but you are raised to raise others. You're a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. You are loved. You are valued. You're a miracle, and you are strong. Yeah. It's time to leave who the hell you are, use who the earth you are, to be who the heaven you are. Wow. I need a chair. Can I have a chair? I don't know if these chairs are strong enough. You're about to see some gymnastics in here. And I want to just, going back to who the hell do you think you are? So a lot of the times as Christians, what we do and what we encourage people to do is to deal with their past and deal with the things that are coming up against them. But what we encourage them to do is what I'm going to show you now. So what we do is, you know, this is our human life walking along. And then we get to a whole bunch of dirt. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it's something that you've done, something that other people have done to you. But you get to this dirt, which causes a hurdle, a blockade in front of you. And as Christians, what we do in our very good spirituality, wanting to help, we come in and we rescue the situation and we take away the problem. We just move it out of the way. We forget about it. We, you know, we just push it to the side. And the person keeps walking along, which is great. They're no longer blocked. They can keep on going in their walk. But actually what we teach people to do through the Noah Initiative is that we don't teach people how to take it away. We teach people how to use it. Because through the dirt is where your testimony comes from. Through the dirt is where your gifting comes from. Through the dirt is where your calling comes from. And if you take it away, you keep on walking along, but you're walking on the same level that you've been on. Not too far, because it's going to do that. You keep on walking on the same level that you have been going on. But what you do when you use it, which is why I'm saying I don't know how strong this chair is. Yeah, we'll find out. Is, yeah, that would be a really bad visual if I fall through the chair. But what happens when... it's good. If I fall through, then it's fine. What we teach is that if we use it, we don't stay on the same level, but we go to the next level. And if we use the dirt instead of just taking it away, then we're not just, you know, walking along and staying the same, but we're using what happened to us. We're using the dirt. We're cultivating the dirt. And you know what? Sometimes the worst dirt or the dirtiest dirt makes the best seeds. You know, if you're talking about agriculture, it's already dirt. It's already messy. It's already bad. And then they come along and put fertilizer on it, which makes it sound nice, but fertilizer is just poop. So it was already dirt. Now they're adding poop. poo to it, and that's going to bring the good seed, and that's what we have to get into our heads, and that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want us to just remove the dirt. He wants to convert the dirt into his purpose. He wants to convert the blockage into what's going to push us to the next level, because I don't want to remove it. I want to convert it. Because when you come to something like this, you can choose. Do I want this to be a hurdle, or do I want it to be a ladder? Hurdle or ladder, the choice is yours. All of us are going to have dirt. All of us are going to have things that stop us, that block us. But it's up to you. Which question will you answer? When you come to the dirt, will you answer, who the hell am I? Who the earth am I, or who the heaven am I? The choice is yours. Am I going to see a hurdle, or am I going to see a ladder? And I'm not saying this in kind of lighthearted. I know that people have gone through real issues. You know, to some people, this blockade might be not getting into the university that you want. But for some people, this blockade is not a small thing. It could be abuse, spiritual, physical, sexual. And I'm not saying that you can just kind of use it and climb on top as if it's an easy thing. Sometimes, instead of jumping over the hurdle and stepping over it, can be the hardest thing that you will ever do. I've got 60 boys, all of whom have had terrible trauma through abuse, human trafficking, bullying, political violence, drug abuse, all of it. You know, their issues aren't small. But if I'm going to make a real difference in their lives, I'm not just going to take away the issue, but I'm going to show them the issue and teach them how to deal with it. So, I've just given you an hour-long sermon in about 25 minutes. I do have all of the notes, if anybody would like them. These are actually from a book that I'm writing, which is funny. I'm dyslexic, and I hated school. But now I run an organization that takes teenage boys to school, and I'm writing a book. But again, that's what God can do. So the chapter title is Who the Hell, Earth, and Heaven Are You? The topic is dealing with your past. The idea is your past does not dictate your future. And the verse is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So if you don't remember anything that I've told you, just remember, hurdle or ladder. The choice is yours. Amen.
Wow. Hurdle or ladder. Let's all stand. And I always believe that God brings, at the right season, at the right time, a word that is appropriate for us. And again, we have a choice. We have a choice to either receive the word and do something about it, or let the word just wash over our heads. But I believe that that word was for some of us here, where we're at a crossroad. We're at a point where we have hit a hurdle. We have hit a wall. And I believe the Spirit of God has spoken into our lives today. And He wants to take us just that one step higher. He wants us to allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to work in our lives. He wants to make a change in our lives. He wants to change that dirt that we are. He wants to make it something more amazing. And He wants to cause a seed to grow in us, to sprout that life. That life-giving source that is in us already, because He ordained that before the earth was formed, before anything, He thought about you. We read that in the Psalms. He knew you before anything else. And God wants us right now, in this situation, whatever situation we are in, to step into His love, to step into His grace, and say, Jesus, I don't want to move this hurdle, but I want you to take me to a step further. And you take me on that ladder that takes me higher. I want to change my life so that that seed that is in me can start to grow. And Lord, I want you to take away all the stuff that's been trying to suppress that growth. And whatever that is in our lives today, we can say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we remove those obstacles, we remove those things that are hindering God's presence and God's power working in our lives. And you might know it in yourselves. I don't know what's going on the inside of you, but you know. And if there's something that is bothering you, there's something that has hindered your walk with Jesus, then now is the time to say, Jesus, in your name, and removing and I'm commanding those things that are holding me down to be lifted off in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you this morning that God, you bring deliverance, you bring healing, you bring victory into my life. And that's the beauty of knowing Jesus Christ. And for some, it might be just knowing who Jesus is. You might know about Him. You heard something about Him today. But the greatest joy, the greatest impact, the greatest change comes when you accept Him, Jesus, as your own Lord and Savior. You know, it's so easy to accept Jesus because He's done everything for you. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. Forgive me for all my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for all the stuff that I've done. God, I repent of my sin. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And you know something? God does a miracle. And He transforms our lives. And if that's you, you can pray that simple prayer and say, Jesus, forgive me today. Father, we thank you this morning. That you took us, the dirt. Lord, you place so much value on our lives. Lord, we were so valuable to you, Father, that you sent Jesus, your Son, to die a cruel, horrible death because you valued us and you wanted that relationship with us. We thank you, Jesus. God, how can we refuse such love that comes from you? Lord, I'm just praying for someone here who has not experienced that love yet. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal the love of Jesus. Because no one else can do it, but you can, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to reveal the love of Jesus. Lord, if there's someone who's struggling today, God, if there's an issue, a problem, an obstacle, it's something that's happened many years ago. Lord, something that may have been said, spoken. Someone who may have lived without a father figure. Lord, you are their Father today. God, you can remove the shame, the pain. Lord, you can remove it. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'll remove the pain. Lord, that you will bring healing and restoration. Because that's who you are. I thank you, God, today that we can go back changed. We can go back renewed. Lord, we can go back knowing that we are loved. We are loved by you. And I want to say thank you, Lord. Because you are an awesome, awesome, awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name this morning. We worship you, Father.